Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Rishwini.
How are you this morning?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Excellent.
Good.
Excellent.
I'm doing an email class that I love, and I'm involved in this morning Project Joy thing that I love. And it's spring, and the sun is shining, and everything is green, and the birds are singing. Yeah.
It's a beautiful spring day.
Yes, yes, a beautiful spring life.
Yes. I had the miracle of an orchid that has been dormant for almost a year bloom today. So, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, there we have
it,
huh?
Exactly.
We too can be dormant and
there's
bloom at any moment.
Well, it so beautifully ties into our assignment from yesterday, which is besides the noble art of getting things done, there is the noble art of leaving things undone. The wisdom of life consists in the elimination of non-essentials. Today, bring a different attitude of mind to your to-do list. Don't make one. Let life weed out the non-essentials and guide you through your daily tasks. At the end of the day, record a celebration of how perfectly life took care of the essentials. For your consideration, what got done was what life did that day. It bloomed an orchid. That was essential. That was the highlight.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, I wonder what everybody else is up to.
I know. Let's find out. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Paula. Can you
hear
me?
Hello, Paula. Yeah,
hey, Paula.
Absolutely.
Good. I thought I was muted there for a minute. I am just having a really incredible time. And I wanted to say that I celebrated your birthday, Sherry, even though I didn't get to talk to you that day. But I was there for the celebration.
All right. And you were practicing no self-hatred for the day. So
every day. Every day.
Every day. So you're celebrating every day.
April
18th. Excellent. Good. Thank you.
But it is, yeah, definitely a highlight. And I just so much appreciated that opportunity. And all I can just wanted to say that I actually, that assignment yesterday was perfecto for the karma of this being is that, wow, I have just, this email class, this Project Joy this year, and that assignment just nailed it for me because that's been such a huge piece of karma, you know, that I, for as long as I can remember, it's to really push through.
As if we're going somewhere, right? I know I say this kind of thing all the time and this specific thing a lot, but the thing I love most about reading history is to be reminded of the millions and millions and millions of people who went through their lives in exactly that way, right? Just striving and stressed and in self-hate because they were going to accomplish something or do something or be something or get somewhere or whatever it was. They're all dead. Nobody knows that they ever lived. And we just don't want to join those ranks, right? I mean, no, it's true, nobody's going to know that we were ever here, but we can know if we're actually here. But if we're just in a self-hate-filled striving, then we didn't get to have our lives. Nobody, you know, it's just, it's such a such a waste, such a loss, such a shame.
Yes, 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 it really is. I'm really getting to see that more and more and more, and so much is unfolding. This well, really this past year. And it's been really hard, but it has also been really, like, exciting and so amazing to see that, to see the way that conditioned mind controlled my life. And I'm saying that in a past tense. I know that it doesn't ever go away, but it is not controlling my life now.
That's right. It doesn't go away, but we can still keep it in the past tense, right? And I would guess, Paula, that for all of us, the what has a hard time with this is ego, right? Uh-huh. That's where the struggle and suffering is with ego. But for us, we're the ones having the, this is exciting. This is thrilling. This is, I'm really alive. Ego's over there going, oh God. But we feel like I'm here.
Yes, that's right. And as you were saying that, what I heard was it's really, that language of it's been hard is ego. It is hard for ego. It's also like, I'm not sure I have the language to explain it, but as soon as I hear that, I know it's not me. You know, I mean, it's hard.
Oh, yes.
And I guess, and, you know, I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Oh, okay, let me give you my favorite example of what you're saying. Okay, and I'm sure you've witnessed this. We're on retreat. Somebody has this great moment of enlightenment, this huge insight, and they're explaining it to the group, right? And this happened, I saw this, and this happened, and they're so lit up in there. So, and they get to the end of it, and they say, it was really weird. At which point, of course, I start yelling at them, right, in a very kind, compassionate, loving way, of course, to say, don't do that. Do not do that. You just had this extraordinary experience. It was not weird, okay? But that's how conditioning does it. So you've had this great year of opening, expansiveness, seeing a lot of stuff, going through a lot of stuff. And ego wants to put the little final touch on that. It was really hard.
Yeah. Because that's just that slippery slope, I guess, to, you know, falling for the story.
That's right. And I don't want another year like that. I don't want another hard year. Right? But if the last line in that little essay is, it was one of the most exciting, thrilling, expansive years of my life. I think, well, let's see if we can top that this year.
Well,
I want more of that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's just been so
big.
Amazing. It's been very big.
Big.
And
yep.
I'm grateful for it. I'm happy to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. No matter what, you know, as I think you said one time, it's just, you know, it's all content, and that content did not. It might add up to a lot. It did not. What's the word I'm looking for? It didn't determine who I am. It didn't take me down. It didn't.
That's right. And with that, we were talking yesterday about burning through karma. This was a year of burning through a lot of karma. You know, it's kind of like you're in school and you get to the end and you need X, whatever it is, to graduate. And you have a choice. You could go another year and pick that up, or you could crank it out right now. And so you just decide you're going to crank it out right now. So you know you're going to have to work hard. You know it's going to it's going to be big. You're really going to have to commit and stick to it. But that's what you decide to do. And when you get to the other side of it, there's this great feeling of accomplishment and appreciation, the joy of having come through for yourself in that way. And that's how we can be with burning through karma. Ego wants to say, oh, God, you wish that had never happened. Then if you just hide out, stay small, and maybe nothing bad will ever, you know. No, that's not who we are. That's just not who we are. All right. Thank you, Paula. I'm glad.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Paula. It's just, you don't know. The thing that drops in.
I know. I'm trying to break that one, too. It's a tough one, isn't it? You know?
It is. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It brings to mind a passage from Dogen about practice, that choosing to be on the spiritual path is not choosing something easy, that the expectation of it being easy is sometimes what makes it so difficult.
Yes. And again, why? Why do we fall for that idea that life should be easy? What a bottom line con job. You know,
yes,
why not make it,
it
exciting and challenging and something that's going to test you, and you're going to have to become the very best that a human being can be in order to do this the way you want. I mean, why not that? You know, all of those kind of old expressions of, if something is worth doing, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to, it's going to take effort. You have to earn it, right, to get to this place. This thing happened to me. And, yeah, stuff does happen to us. That's what we signed on for as human beings, I think.
Yes, and signed on especially as spiritual human beings.
Exactly. We right. Yes. Yeah. There could have been another direction, although our karma did not set us up for another direction. So
yes,
we can guess that this is the one for us.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that place of it is hard. It is in that the ego's experience of feeling tumbled, I suppose, in the rock tumbler,
mm-hmm,
with the edges being smoothed out. And it's such a opportunity for compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, compassion and appreciation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the to me that's so much of the importance of practice, right? So I can be doing something that's really challenging, and if I have a voice saying, oh, why don't you quit? Just give up. This is too hard. You can't do it. Why? That's one experience. But I'm doing something really challenging, and the voice is that you're doing, this is great. This is, look at that. Look at, oh, that's fabulous. Good. Yes, you go. I mean, how's that going to work out? When we look at it in that way, it's obvious. It's not the challenging task that is the issue. It's how we're approaching it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we let ourselves be guided by self-hatred, it's going to be miserable, and the likelihood is that we're not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But if we move over into life, into the loving kindness and compassion that is our authentic nature, then anything is available. Life's not going to give us anything that we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. Now, whether we do it or not is up to us. But we can. We must never, ever doubt that. We must never lose sight of that. It wouldn't be here if it weren't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if this thing weren't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That had two possible meanings. It's in my life, therefore it is a gift to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It,
Well, here's our next caller.
Thank you.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. This is Brad from Maryland.
Hello, Brad.
How you guys doing? Ladies,
good.
Right?
You?
I'm doing okay.
All right, what's going on?
Well, you know, in terms of scheduling your day and other things like that, one of the things I wanted to ask about from the perspective of how we practice is just obsessive thought. The reason why
don't
I mentioned
do it,
that
Brad.
Is, I'm sorry?
Don't do that.
I'm trying not to. I'm doing my my mantra with my Zen coach every day. I choose unconditional love and acceptance. You know, again and again and again, the meditation, the recording, and listening. But I notice even for things that are supposedly of interest to me, there's always the repetitive. Again, this goes back to process and not content. So even if it's not in a self-hating way, I still notice the mind wanting to be obsessive.
Brad, you have a small child. Is this correct?
Yes, I have two now.
Uh-huh. And how old is the older one?
He's 4 years old, and the youngest is 4 months old.
Yeah, that 4 months old is still manageable, right?
Right.
But that 4 year old, have you noticed the desire for attention?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And
pretty constant?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And does it have to be anything big and important that's going on in order to want that attention?
No, it's, you know, it's just presence. And
that's right. I'm here. Pay attention to me. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to me. Yeah? Now, in our child, we're you know, we have one relationship with that process. With conditioned mind, it's a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah? And so, I mean, for most people, they sort of approach it in an opposite way from the way I think you do. They would find the child really annoying and conditioned mind the thing that they should be giving all of their attention to. Okay? So
well,
the child is actually interrupting my ability to be focused on this constant demand for attention from conditioned mind.
Well, that brings back a lot of my conditioning. My father was always into his hobbies, his interests, and obviously when that happens for me and when I'm obsessed in thought and I don't want to be, which is, well, I'm practicing not to be as a matter of hopefully a way of guidance for myself and as well to be there for my family, I still notice that pull even despite all of that childhood trauma that I faced because my dad was just kind of into all that stuff.
It's still hard
for me.
That's my point. That is my point exactly. And so, you know, with your child, it is a natural process, right?
Mm-hmm.
With conditioned mind, we might say it's a natural process, but it's way out of control. So it's the equivalent of eating is a natural process. But if you get up in the morning and you start eating and you don't stop until you go to bed at night and you wind up weighing 1,200 pounds, it's way out of control. And so not to be surprised that it requires from us what it requires from us. Because what it comes down to is you're going to have to be present as much as it is.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be there in every moment for that obsessive, conditioned mind not to be in control. This is a good thing. Rather than being frustrated by it or upset by it, which just feeds it, right, because that's the kind of obsessive thing it likes to get into, we just realize, yeah. So if you want to be You want to be the welterweight champion of the world in boxing, right?
Right.
Well, you're going to have to practice. You're going to have to practice a lot. You're going to have to go up against really tough opponents. Now, you could either hate those opponents and wish they would die before you had to fight them, or you could realize that they are what is taking you to your goal.
I guess where I get caught with it right now is because the obsessive thoughts aren't necessarily on, like, the self-hate, but just obsessing over things. How do I know?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's like saying, well, I don't want to fight this guy because he's really vicious and angry and wants to hurt me, but I don't mind fighting this guy because he seems like a nice guy. I mean, you know, he's going to try to knock me out, but it's not personal.
Yeah, it's just amazing, though, because I think my mind's always been this way, obviously. I mean, or it's
yes,
developed.
Yes, everybody's
into,
is.
Yeah.
Everybody's is. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's just that for some people don't mind. I was just writing that to somebody today in the email class, right? We have to realize that ego enjoys what it claims not to enjoy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It loves to suffer.
And so if you realize that, then the way out of this is drop it all. Figuring out, well, but is this obsessive thinking okay? Because it's, you know, I'm just obsessing about my hobby. But this obsessive, no, just drop it all. Get out of conditioned mind. Period. That's the essential thing for us to do, back to our quote, right? That's the life work that we do every single day. That's the focus. All that other stuff, whether it's the being busy and striving and being driven to accomplish and that sort of thing, or it's obsessive thinking, or it's whatever it is.
Same process.
It's the same process, yeah.
One quick question then. How do you determine, well, I don't know, maybe if it's in terms of things that you like or things that you want to think about, is that then just ego having preference?
Don't think.
Just don't think. Okay.
Just don't think, because that process just takes you right back. So now I'm going to let conditioned mind figure out what I like and don't like and what's real. No!
Oh, I know. It's hell.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks,
all right.
Brad.
I'm going to work on it. I'm going to practice.
Good.
That's what we're here for.
That's it.
All right. You got it. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, Brad. Well, that's the bottom line. All minds are obsessively think, so we just don't attend to it.
Precisely so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, back to the Buddha talking about greed, hate, and delusion. You know, we're all greedy, we're all hateful, and we're all deluded when we go to that place, when we leave here. That's just mm-hmm. how it is.
Mm-hmm. And there's such a discovery of the ability to be in the world without attention on conditioned mind, which is that expanded awareness place that we practice in awareness practice, becoming aware of awareness as a way to be consciously here rather than just attend to the thinking process.
Yes, and that's the point that Brad is looking at. If I still believe that conditioned mind is reality, then it's going to be really hard to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to spend enough time here in awareness, in what is really so, to prefer that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we
mm-hmm.
do, then practice becomes a completely different animal. Mm-hmm. Now I'm choosing what I want. I'm not trying to let go of what I shouldn't want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Practicing to move away from suffering or moving towards freedom, both important.
Yes.
And both different.
Yes, exactly.
Movement.
So. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
Well, we have time for one other. Sorry,
okay,
go ahead.
Okay, I'll be quiet. Okay, No.
I didn't want to interrupt.
No.
All right.
You didn't.
Here's
I was just going to go on with what you said. I'm good. Go ahead.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary Jane in Palo Alto.
Hey, Mary Jane.
I'm so glad I got on. I think that what you just said, I just had an experience of it because I was, the first half of the call, I was just feeling so present. And then, like, a little text came on my phone as I'm walking outdoors with my daughter, Evie. And suddenly it got in that I went into spin cycle. And when you said, you know, it's kind of either we're here, we need to have enough time here and bring, it was just this moment of like coming back to myself and shifting. It's almost like my attention goes upward versus inward. And when I went back inward, that was just over there rather than spinning. So anyway, I just appreciated that comment.
Well, I got to say two things. I love that spin cycle. What an image, right? And that's exactly what happens, right? And we've got to learn to reach over and push the off button, right? And that, yeah. Then the other thing is last night in group, one of the monks was talking about this, and because we were all together, there were hand gestures, right? And the hand gestures were every time she would talk about conditioning, her hand would come up, you know, to the head and kind of beyond. And talking about center, the hand movements were down, right? Kind of down and in, just exactly the way you described. And so that, realizing that, where that movement is, either toward the spin cycle, and that caught up in what is not real but believing that it is, or dropping down into here, into presence and awareness. Very good. Very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, obviously when you were talking about having a child and Evie's, you know, three, almost four now, and just that I've seen that process of just being with her and then wanting to go on the phone or just, you know, hating that, being distracted from, you know, that pull when actually, like, it's so much more relaxing if I'm just present. Like, it's not just attention. It's also just being it's just being in the moment. Actually, they just want...
Yes.
She just wants me to be in the moment, actually, and not on my computer or, like, preoccupied.
Right. She hasn't yet moved into that, I want it for me, right? She'll get there later on, you know, as she moves into what we're talking about with that, with the attention on conditioned mind, that where conditioned mind doesn't want us to be present, doesn't want us just to be here. It wants us in its full reality, in its conversation. But she is actually still enjoying being here.
Oh, completely, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, and I just, my last comment is on the quote yesterday. I loved it, and I want to, that practicing of just doing what life needs us to do, and the things that need to get done do get done. And there is this, like, oh, you could do that one day, but not every day. So I'm just curious to keep practicing it and see what happens.
Yes. I was actually playing with that this morning because I use recording and listening like some people use journaling, I guess. I just talk about me to me, right? All of the things that, you know, people around me would say, shut up, because it's not big stuff, right? And one of the things that I love to talk with myself about is my schedule. You know, well, I could do this or that. I could do that first, and then I could, you know, and then I just start laughing because it is such an entertainment because it so rarely has anything to do with what actually happens, right? Mm. So I've got this whole, you know, the next 3 days laid out, how I could go there and do that, take care of that, and then, and none of that happens. But as you say, everything that needs to happen happens. It just doesn't always happen the way I think it's going to happen. So both of those things can be true. I can enjoy making plans, and I can know that if that's not what life has in mind, that's just not what's going to happen. No hard feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do like that. I think I'll do that too, is because, you know, just talk to myself about my plans. I do that at the end of my day sometimes because I want someone to hear about my day, so I'll just talk to, you know, do a recording on my day. I did this
exactly.
And I did that.
Yes, talk to somebody who is absolutely fascinated by your life.
Yeah,
why
like
not?
Every detail.
Yes, somebody who's on your side. Again, it's like your little girl, right? She wants you to be engaged with her in what's happening right now. So she would tell you all of those things. You know, she would completely unselfconsciously. But we get to a certain age, and people start rolling their eyes, and it becomes clear that that is not as fascinating to them as it is to us. So thank God for recording and listening, because we get to have that enjoyment, and other people don't have to endure it or reject it, which they don't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right.
Nice to
thank you. Enjoy this. Enjoy this glorious morning, you two.
Yes.
All right.
Bye. So thanks, Mary Jane.
Oh, there she is.
You.
Bye,
Amy. Oh, that was wonderful, Sherry. Presence as a scheduling assistant.
Yeah.
Well, here's our assignment for the day. And we get to practice with it today and then Saturday and Sunday and get back together on Monday.
Yes,
so
and
here it is.
We need to watch our email because we'll get one for tomorrow and the next day too, right?
Good. You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. Sit down with a favorite libation, a paper, and a pen. Begin to allow life to drop in little snapshots of some of your many acts of generosity. No negative voices allowed. Add to your list the ways you're giving every day. Take your time and let the memories and insights come to you. Then when that list is as complete as you can make it in this one sitting, record how it feels to take in all that goodness and what you see about the life you've made through your generosity.
Well, if that doesn't bring tears to your eyes, you're not paying attention, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's beautiful. What a gift.
It is.
Yeah.
What a gift. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you
for this.
Thank
you, Sherry, and have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see everybody on Monday morning.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy.